Tomorrow, voters will be choosing not only a president and vice president, but also all 435 representatives in the House and 34 of the 100 members of the Senate. In general, congressional incumbents have an edge over their challengers.
But there are dozens of House races which are very, very close. Among them, a sizable number of the 74 seats held by freshman Republicans who came to office when the GOP won control of Congress in 1994. But the final composition of the House may not be decided until next month. Because of the Supreme Court ruling banning legislative districts based on race, several of the contests for House seats in Texas are free-for-alls, with as many as 10 different Republicans and Democrats in them. If the vote is split among them, it may be necessary to hold a runoff election on December 10th. The Texaco Tapes, just ahead on NPR's All Things Considered.
This is All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. According to an article in today's New York Times, top officials of Texaco have been recorded on tape conspiring to destroy evidence in a federal discrimination lawsuit. The suit was filed in 1994 against the oil company by six employees on behalf of 1,500 minority workers. It alleges that Texaco fostered a hostile racial atmosphere and systematically discriminated against blacks and other minority employees in making promotions. Investigative reporter Kurt Eichenwald has seen transcripts of the tapes and wrote the article for today's Times. He explains who can be heard on the recordings and how they came to be made in the first place.
There are a number of people heard on the tapes, first of them being Robert Ulrich, who at the time was the corporate treasurer of Texaco, one of the most senior officers at the company, as well as an individual by the name of Lundwall, who was the head of a personnel services in Texaco's finance division. The way this came about being created, this recording, is Mr. Lundwall was responsible in his job for keeping minutes of meetings. And apparently wasn't as confident about his ability to keep up on handwriting. So to make sure that his minutes were accurate, he popped a tape recorder into his pocket for the meetings.
Unbeknownst to the others.
Unbeknownst to the others, and would use that afterwards to check the minutes he had kept by hand. He subsequently, in around August, was downsized out of Texaco, lost his job, and turned the tape recordings that he had over to the plaintiffs in the discrimination suit.
Now, the transcripts made from those tape recordings, mm-hmm. as you report on them in today's New York Times, seem to reveal a few nasty things going on. One of them is a discussion of purging the records at Texaco of things that might work against them in the lawsuit. Is that right? Is that how you read it?
It's not even how I read it. That's what they said. There are discussions in the course of this meeting of executives sitting around trying to figure out if particular data and charts work for them or against them as they decide whether or not to turn them over. And that is just patently illegal. You are not allowed to nip and tuck your evidence to decide does it work for your case or not. you have to turn over everything.
Yeah, these documents presumably would be covered by the discovery orders in the lawsuit.
And yes, they were clearly covered by the discovery order, by the discovery requests that had gone out.
Now, the second nasty thing that seems to be going on in these meetings is the remarks that are made by senior Texaco executives, which certainly are, in some cases, racist.
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying? What are they actually talking about here?
If you bear in mind what's going on in these conversations, they're talking about the discovery requests as related to this discrimination suit. Throughout the conversation, they are belittling the black employees of Texaco. There are statements in which they are referred to as black jelly beans, and one of the corporate executives responds by saying, well, yeah, and the black jelly beans are all stuck to the bottom of the bag, which certainly seems to be a direct reference to their inability to rise to the top. There are direct statements by executives in which they refer to the minority employees as niggers. There are statements in which an executive bemoans the fact that some minority employees are interested in having Kwanzaa recognized, and he comments how, you know, I just got used to Hanukkah. And it goes on and on in some very disparaging ways.
What did the people at Texaco say when you called them up about these transcripts and asked them about them?
Well, the first thing, Texaco is in a bit of a difficult position because they have not heard the tape recordings. And so what they have to base everything on is representations made to them by others. So their first response is, we haven't heard this. But their second is, if these words were in fact said, this runs counter to Texaco policy. It's shocking. It's outrageous. And in court papers, they have said that they are appointing an independent investigator, and depending on the conclusions, they may make referrals to law enforcement as a result.
Kurt Eichenwald is an investigative reporter for The New York Times.